see you on this Mother's Day, and look forward to some more folks coming in this morning. We'll go ahead and get started, though. But I'll tell you, it is a kind of a dreary day out there, isn't it? Just rainy, and the sun's not shining, and that's not the prettiest day. But you know, it's a pretty day in here today, isn't it? Because we've got somebody very special here today, don't we? And so good to see Sister Parsons here today. What a blessing to have her in the service today. And we appreciate Louise and Jean bringing her today. And we're grateful. And it just makes Mother's Day very special to have this dear lady with us. And it's just a blessing. So thank you for bringing her. And thank you, Sister Parsons, for being here today. Let's go ahead and we'll get started. And we will turn to hymn number, 42, correct? All hail the power of Jesus' name. And we'll stand and sing. What verses you want to sing, brother buddy? Seated and pray for the choir as they sing.
Church hymnal, page 315.
hear my mother pray again. If I could only hear my mother pray again. If I could only hear her tender voices then. Still his love, I sing that all above, where I shall meet my mother some glad day. If I could only hear my mother pray again, if I could only hear her tender voices then, so glad I should be, it would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother
good enough for
sure am glad my sins are gone.
Amen.
I tell you, there's nothing going on in this world I didn't put up with that. So thank the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. You know, I noticed, I don't know why, that in our hymn books, we don't have a lot of songs about mothers. There's a lot of songs about fathers, but not a lot about mothers. And we did sing one in the choir that would love to hear our mother pray again. But I tell you that in cases like that, what I've done through the years, and if I don't mess Brother Buddy and Miss Teresa up, let's turn to 183, and it says, Faith of Our Fathers. Let's change fathers, and let's say mothers. Because, boy, I'll tell you, the faith of our mothers are a grand thing, aren't they? We've got a lot of praying mamas, and if it weren't for praying mamas, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? So let's do 183, and we'll sing the first verse, Fellowship, and come back with the third. So we're going to sing Faith of Our Mothers, okay, not Faith of Our Fathers. So let's sing the first verse, Fellowship, back on the third, okay? Here we go. Ready?
Thank you.
thank you. We'll let you be seated, and thank you for that good singing today. Mother's Day. Well, we've got several presents here today. Big present having Sister Parsons with us today. That's a blessing. And then we've got some mothers really happy because their baby girls are home from college. Holly's back from Blacksburg, and Bethany's back from Winston-Salem. And so that's a blessing. So just a lot of great things to thank the Lord for today. I want to take just a few moments and say that we appreciate all the mothers that are here. And we appreciate you and your service to the Lord. As I said earlier, we would be in bad shape in America and around the world if it were not for godly mothers. And they don't get the credit they should many times. You may have a good man and he loves God and he serves the Lord, but I guarantee you somewhere there's a kneeling, praying mama. And that is so needful. And our country would be in trouble without praying mamas. So we appreciate you mothers that hold the front line. And it's just, I heard it said one time, and I thought it was interesting. They asked some young people, they said, "Where do you learn responsibility?" Well, you know, you'd think that if you have a father, for instance, that works hard, and the old saying is, bring home the bacon, and all of that good stuff, it seems like you would learn responsibility from a father. But in reality, we learn responsibility from our mothers, because they're the ones that said, do your chores. And they're the ones that say, all right, get the yard mowed. And they're the ones that say, you know, did you get your homework finished? And we learn responsibility from our mothers. And so we appreciate good, godly mothers that hold the line. And that's a great thing. So we appreciate that. So we want to honor some mothers today. We've got about four plants up here. And we're going to start with the oldest mother. Now, that's a tough one. We might have to have a tie. But somehow, I don't really think so. Brother Julius, can you come up here and help me, please? Is there anybody that's a taker on 99? Anybody close? Brother Julius says, I resemble that remark. All right. Sister Parsons, I think you got it for being the oldest mother. Now, I don't know if you can see. I tell you what, is there any of these plants up here that you can see offhand that you would prefer to have? Maybe Miss Louise could help you make a decision for your room, maybe? This one on the end here. Youngest mother. Would I be right that Pam's the youngest mother? I didn't say young in heart, you know. We got to go strictly with the age on this one. And I do not dare ask your age.
She's 62.
Whoa. All right. Dad got his shot in there, didn't he? All right. Which one do you want? There are three plants up here. That one. I'm glad you knew which one that one was. Okay. All right. Mother with the most children. I don't know on this one. Five. We got people. Somebody has five. At least five children. Or more. Got four. Anybody else got four kids? Okay. All right. Got, is that right? Four? Okay. Miss Betty?
I think that ring will make the
move. This one?
You can just leave it there.
Okay.
All right. Now, last one goes to the mother that has the most children present today in the services. So how many we got? Let's see. Miss Donna go? How many you got? Three? Or two? No, you got three.
I was going to say two, Jane.
All right, I think Miss Donna gets it. She's got three of her youngins in here today. So that's good. So you get this one right here, okay? So. All right. Okay. Now, I want all of you mothers to stand up. All mothers stand up. All right, we need to give every one of these. Miss Parsons, you don't have to stand up, dear. We will recognize you as an honorary standee, okay? But I want every one of these, let's give them a hand, okay? All right, thank you, ladies, for your service. We'll let you be seated. Okay. All right, you pray for Miss Teresa as she sings for us today.
Before I sing this morning, I'd like to read a poem that I got off the internet this morning. Except for a few, most of you older people's mothers have passed away. This is our first Mother's Day without Mom. And this title of this poem is Mothers Who Are No Longer Among Us. In tears we saw you sinking and watched you pass away. Our hearts were almost broken, we wanted you to stay. But when we saw you sleeping so peaceful, free from pain, how could we wish you back with us to suffer that again? It broke our hearts to lose you, but you did not go alone. For part of us went with you the day God took you home. If roses grew in heaven, Lord, please pick a bunch for me. Place them in my mother's arms and tell her they're for me. Tell her I love her and miss her, and when she turns to smile, place a kiss upon her cheek and hold her for a while. Because remembering her is easy, I do it every day. But there's an ache within my heart that will never go away. Don't think of her as gone away, her journey's just begun. Life holds so many facets, this earth is only one. Just think of her as resting from the sorrows and the tears in a place of warmth and comfort where there are no days and years. Think how she must be wishing that we could know today how nothing but our sadness can really pass away. And think of her as living in the hearts of those she touched, for nothing loved is ever lost, and she is loved so very much. I could not find a Mother's Day song that I wanted to actually sing this morning, so I'm just going to sing her favorite song, and y'all pray for me. Bethlehem, Calvary, Olivet, oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountain and plain with his praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. There on the cross where he died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving his life a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Lifting my burdens, relieving my care. Oh, what a Savior is mine. To do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Miss Teresa. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. While you're turning there in your Bibles, Miss Teresa made a comment that's so true. Many of us sitting here, our mothers have been gone, are gone. We have memories of our mothers. My mother went to be with the Lord in 1991. My mother's been gone a long time. But we have memories, and those are good memories. But you know what makes it even better? If they're saved, we're going to see them one day. This is not a permanent separation. It is but a parting for a temporary period of time. And then one day we shall be reunited. So what a privilege and joy that is. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. So I'm glad this is not my final abode. I'm glad we're going to a better place. So this morning I want to read some verses out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 on Mother's Day. This may not necessarily be a typical Mother's Day message, but I want to talk about a woman today, and the title of my sermon that I want to speak on in this hour is A Mother Like No Other. A Mother Like No Other. There's a story here that many of us would be able to relate to. And we're going to see the story of the prophet Elisha and what happens when Elisha meets a very unusual woman. Let's begin with verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 8 says, "And it fell on a day." Now, I'm going to tell you this right now, that we are going to see the story that I'm going to relate to you. It's going to be set off by this unusual statement, "It fell on a day." Three times in the passage that I'm going to read to you, it uses the phrase, "It fell on a day." And that will show us three distinct things about this woman that I call a mother like no other. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem."
where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Let's stop there for a moment, and let's deal first of all with the first time it fell on a day is mentioned, and we're going to see a woman, a mother, that is showing us some understanding. Now, it's important to be, sometimes women are better at this than men are. Men oftentimes just kind of grab the bull by the horns and throw him to the ground. But sometimes it is the compassion and the understanding of a mother that makes things a little different. For instance, if you in your home have nice things, more than likely it's going to be mama that has taken, the lady of the house is the one that's going to take, and just not have pieces of furniture in there. She may add some decorations. She may fix up some special things, especially around holidays, and just add little extra touches and go the extra mile of the way. And it seems that that's true about this particular woman, because we learn some things about her in these verses that I read. First of all, it says in verse 8 that she was a great woman. Now, I do not think that that has anything to do with her size. I don't think that's what that's talking about. I don't think we're talking about a big, heavy-set woman here. I think what we're talking about is a woman who is important. A woman who is probably a business person. She probably gets out and she does her thing. You said, were there people like that in the Bible? Do you remember the 16th chapter of Acts, a woman named Lydia who was a seller of purple? And that meant that she was a person who had dealings with royalty and with rich people, because people, the more important they were or the more money they had, they wore bright colors. Poor people did not wear bright colors. It was a sign of social stature. So if you wore scarlet, purple, bright blue, those kind of colors, that was for the important people. That was for the rich people. That was for the kings and the leaders of the day. But if you were poor, you wore black, brown, gray. That's about it. So Lydia was an important person. She was a seller of purple. The Bible does not necessarily tell us what this woman's achievements were, but she was a great woman nonetheless, and she was very important. And one of the things that's interesting is the fact that she sees Elisha the prophet go by her home many times, and she hears how that Elisha has ministry that he's doing, and it gets to her. Because it says that she was a great woman, and she constrained him, talking about Elisha, to come and to eat bread. Now, they didn't have Motel 6 in those days. They didn't have Holiday Inn Express. They didn't have motels. They didn't have McDonald's. They didn't have Wendy's. All right? You made the trip. You did the best you could. This man, we would call him an itinerant minister. He traveled and he did what he had to do. And so this woman obviously saw him many times passing by her house and thought to herself, you know, this man has no place to stay and surely has nothing to eat. Let me see if I can be a blessing to him. And it was so that as he passed by, she turned in thither to eat bread. She said, Preacher, I want you to come in and bless my house. Now, obviously, she must not have been a poor woman, because the Bible says she was a great woman, so she must have had what she deemed necessary. And one of the things that she had in her home, according to what this says, she had an extra room. Now, you got to remember, in those days, you didn't have that kind of thing. You just didn't have extra rooms. Some people have big houses, and they have extra room, and some people say they have too much room, and they have too much, and they talk about downsizing when the kids leave and all. Whatever reason, in those days, you didn't have that, but this woman had an extra room. And she said, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by continually. Let us make a little chamber. Let's set up one of these rooms and let's make it possible so that this man of God can come and can have a place to stay and a place to rest and a place to pray. Now, you've heard people talk about having prophets' chambers. If you've ever wondered why churches call prophets' chambers, this is where they got it from. Because there is a little chamber and the prophet's going to stay there. And so this is what the prophet's chamber, this is where it came from in the Bible. So it says, and in there she put some necessary things. She put a bed. She put a table. She put a stool and she put a candlestick. I wish I had time to get into that. The bed speaks of rest. The body must rest. The body can only go so far. It's got to rest. The Bible talks about rest. Seventh day, the Sabbath day, a day of rest. God speaks of rest. We have to have rest. That's important. We must have that. And God wants us to have rest. And then there's a table. What do you do at the table? You eat at a table. But not only do you eat at a table, you write at a table. Then it says that there is a stool. You sit on the stool at the table. And then there's a candlestick. What's the candlestick for? The candlestick is to give you light so that you can eat or you can study at the table. Those are four essential things because those things speak of the importance of just doing what the Bible says. Paul said, give attendance to reading. We need to read the Bible. We need to study the Bible. We need to have time that we have not only devotional time, we need to have a time where we study God's Word. And he was able to sit at the table, do his correspondence, do his studies, whatever he needed. He had a bed, a stool, a table, and a candlestick. And she made it possible. Thank God for women of understanding. Thank God for people who will say, when my mother was alive, no one ever came into my house, my mother's house, without first of all my mother always saying, would you like something to drink? And they never left the house unless they had a piece of pie or a piece of cake. Never. Never. That was part of hospitality. The Bible talks about being given to hospitality. There's a woman in the Bible in the book of Acts called Dorcas. And Dorcas was a woman of hospitality. But can I say this? That our society has become so selfish and self-centered, you rarely get anything offered in homes anymore. Nobody ever says, would you like something to drink? All the times that I go in and through my years of visitation, I rarely have people ever say, well, preacher, would you like something to drink? Would you like to get something? Would you like something to eat? You know, never. Hardly ever. Used to be that used to be. But people have just become so self-centered. And a lot of times people don't want to even share what meager things they have. They don't want to share. We're very, very self-centered in that regard. And it ought not be that way. We ought to be people of giving. We ought to give to others. We ought to share with other people. And yet we seemingly don't seem to do that much anymore. And so she has made these things possible. So she is a woman of understanding. And thank God for women who are women of understanding. And ladies, thank God for your hospitality. But let me challenge you and let God challenge each one of our ladies. And not only our ladies, but ladies of the world. Are you as hospitable as you possibly can be? God, if it's going to be done, you're going to do it. The men aren't going to do it. Men aren't going to do it. Men aren't made that way. Men don't put a mint on a pillow. See? Men don't do those kind of things. Men don't go that extra mile like a lady does, you know. And that's a gift. A gift of understanding. And thank God, this woman, this mother like no other, she had a gift. I think that it can be a gift to be a blessing to others. God, help me to be a blessing to other people. Help me to have a heart of understanding. Help me to have a heart of love. Help me not... Do you know what happens? That sometimes we get hurt. And people hurt us. And I tell you what happens when you get hurt. First thing you do when you get hurt is this. You know what that means? It means I hurt, stay away, you might hurt me. Do you know something about being a Christian? Something about being a Christian is that you must become and allow yourself to be vulnerable and gullible. What I mean by that is no matter how many times somebody hurts you, you still have to push it off and say, all right, I gotta give again. Do you get hurt? Absolutely. But that does not give us the right to close up and to become an isolationist and to say, oh, I can't do this again. We have to pick ourselves up. The old song says, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. And you have to. She was a woman of understanding. But notice the second thing. Look at verse 11. And it fell on a day. There's a second time that phrase, it fell on a day, is given. And it fell on a day that he came in thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful with us all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. And Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, she is a woman of understanding in the first division. It fell on a day. Second, it fell on a day is this. She was a woman of unction. Now, what do I mean by the word unction? It's an old word we don't use much anymore. The word unction means blessing or anointing. She was a special lady because she had a touch of God on her life. But you know what? She gave and she gave and she gave. Now get this. She gave and never expected anything in return. And Elisha got to thinking about it and said, you know, she gives and gives and gives to me. What can I do for her? Some people give expecting to get. We should never give with the expectation of receiving. We should give because the Bible teaches to give. But my Bible also says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. You cannot give and God not bless you. No matter how sacrificially it may be, God will bless you for giving. As long as your motive is right. Now, if you're giving because, like the Pharisees gave, and they gave because they were seen of much people, that's wrong giving. But if you're giving because you're helping, you're blessing others, you're doing it because you want to do it, God will not let that go unrewarded. So he goes to his servant Gehazi and he said to Gehazi, find out what it is. What is it this woman needs? What does she want? She's a great woman. Does she want to stand before kings? Does she want introduction? What does she want? He said, only thing I can decide, master, is this, that she wants a baby. That's all she wants. Her husband is an old man. They are past childbearing years, and from what I understand, that's all she says. And she's not really come out and said that, but indications say that she wants a baby. So he calls her in and he said, is this true? Is this what you want? And so he says in verse 16, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Notice her answer. Nay, my Lord. Notice what he calls. She calls him. She calls him several times. I think I counted it one time. I think it was 9 times maybe in this chapter she calls him man of God. She says, nay, thou man of God. Do not lie unto thine handmaid. She says, what she's saying is, you know, I've been good to you. I've brought you into my home. Every time you come into this area, you have a place to stay, and I feed you, and I give you a place to rest. But listen, she says, but please don't fool with my emotions. I want a baby. I'm never going to have a baby. My husband is too old. I'm past childbearing years. Please do not hurt me. But he said, no. He said, it will be according to my word. She is a woman of blessing. God blessed this woman. Why? Because her attitude was right. Her heart was right. Can I say something, and I think you know this without me having to really dwell on it, but it's the truth, and if this offends anybody, I hope it doesn't. There is nothing on this earth any more wonderful than a woman that loves God and is submitted to the will of God and is full of the Holy Ghost. You'll never find a greater person like a Proverbs 31 mama or woman. But there are women that are not either saved, or they say they're saved and they are not living for the Lord. And can I say this to you, that there can be women like that, that can be some of the most obnoxious and mean and hateful people on earth. And some of you know people like that. You remember this saying? It's so true. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's truth, isn't it? Truth. You get one woman, you get one unsaved woman that's full of the devil, you get her mad at you, you're going to pay for it. Seen it, seen it, seen it. Some of you that are on Facebook, have you ever noticed that there's some women that get on Facebook, have you ever noticed that? And they rip people to pieces. That ought not be on there. I'm not talking about the men, I'm talking about the women. Rip people apart. But oh, thank God for these wonderful, godly ladies that love the Lord, and you see God all over them, and God blesses them and uses them. And that's what this woman was. She was a woman, and God said, I'm going to bless you for what you've done. Sometimes the blessings seem awfully far apart, but God is still in the blessing business. Third thing, and I close with this, she was a mother of understanding, she was a mother of unction. She is a mother of urgency. Now God blesses her. Let's look at verse 18. Here's the third time you find that phrase, it fell on a day. And when the child was grown, wow. I mean, we bypassed what? 18 years. Between verses 17 and 18, about 18 years have passed. Okay? And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And I'm going to stop right there. And then we'll comment on the rest of it. But let's say 18. Let's say 18. Full grown man. Let's just say 18. Maybe older. Working out in the field with his daddy. Daddy's still alive. He was already an old man at probably 18 when the boy was born. Now he's even older. And you'd think, well, he's going to carry the load. He's going to be the daddy of the house. But now they're out working. And all of a sudden he grabs his head and he says, my head, my head. And he has to go back. And so the mother has him to lie down on, of all places, on the bed of the man of God. And she sends word and she says, send for the man of God and have him to come. But the Bible says that as she held that boy, she held that grown man, he died in her arms. Verse Verse 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. He wasn't scheduled to come through at that time. There were not any opportunities of ministry. But she said, I don't care. I need to see the man of God. Verse 24, she saddled an ass, said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And she is being taken, chauffeured, if you will, to find the man of God. So she went, verse 25, and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is so. So here what happens? Gehazi runs and catches up with this with the chauffeur situation, if you will, and said, is everything all right with you? She said, it's well. Is it all right with your husband? It's well. How about your boy? It's well. She wouldn't tell him because she wasn't going to tell anybody but the man of God. She wasn't going to tell Gehazi. She was going right to the horse's mouth, so to speak. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Now prophets in those days, you remember, prophets had supernatural ability given to them by God Almighty to tell the future and to see things and discern things other people couldn't. God wouldn't let him see this. And when she gets to where he is, she falls down and grabs his feet. And Gehazi says, woman, you crazy? Get away. And he reaches out to pull her away from the man of God. Man says, don't leave her alone. She's vexed within her spirit. God has not revealed to me this. I need to see what's going on. Leave her alone. And look what she says in verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I really ask you for a child? But you told me I was going to be pregnant. You told me I was going to have a child. Now I've had a child for some almost 2 decades. And he's grown up and he's working out in the field, and all of a sudden something happens. And now, did I ask you for this? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You know, I don't care how godly and spiritual you are, sometimes reality sets in, doesn't it? I don't care how spiritual, how godly, how much you have devotions, how many times you pray, how many times you witness. That your church, every time the doors open, sometimes reality sets in. And you don't know how to handle it. She said, did I ask for this? I mean, you said, well, she should. Yes. Why not? Sometimes, you know, sometimes people like to vent, don't they? I've had people come to me and they talk to me about things and they'll vent and then I don't say a word. I just listen. And then they say, preacher, thank you for talking to me. I didn't say a word. You know why? Because they just need to talk. They just need to vent. And they felt better after they vented. She's venting. Okay? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not. Again, and lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Now, do you know what it means by gird up your loins? They had the long clothes. And what they would do is they would reach underneath, get the garments, tuck it in the robe, and start running. That's the only way you'd run in a dress, if I can use that terminology. And so he's running. He's got the staff of the man of God in his hand. He girds himself, and he takes off running. And he gets to the house before she and the preacher get there. And he does just what he's supposed to. He takes the staff, he puts it on the boy, nothing happens, the boy's dead. Verse 31, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the child's face, and there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And then Elisha was come into the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." And he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went down and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. She was a mother of urgency. I made the statement that there is no greater blessing on this earth than a godly mother. I made a second statement that there is no probably greater curse, if I may use this terminology, than a woman that is unsaved and lives against the principles of God's word. Third principle, come, whatever you want to call it, there is nothing and nobody as loving, as protective as a mother. Because she made haste. Once she found out that, once that child died, once that young man died, then she made haste. And she said to her chauffeur, if you will, "You're going to take me and you're going to carry me and we're going to find that man of God." I don't know how long it took. It doesn't say how long it took. She found him though, didn't she? There's something about a mama. There's something about especially a God called mama, a woman that has been used by God. And this can be a situation whether it's a woman that has literal children or she is an adopted mother, she adopts others, whatever that is. But if God's put that in her heart and there's a young person or there's a child, that mother will move heaven and earth. That song the choir sang, talking about hearing mama pray again. I think I told you the story about the man who, the preacher, when he got saved, but said he used to drink and he was an alcoholic. And he said he'd come home middle of the night and the old farmhouse they lived in, he said he used to go up the stairs and he said the stairs were old and creaky. And he said, I knew where every creek was. And he said, I'd take my shoes off and I'd go up and I knew exactly where to step because I knew where all the creeks were and I didn't want mama to know that I was home and drunk. And she said, then he said, I'd get to the top of the stairs. And then he said, there were 3 doors going down the hall upstairs. And she said, he said, I had to get past 2 of them to get to my room, but mama's was right in the middle. And so I had my shoes in my hand, and I was very careful, and I delicately carried myself and tiptoed. And he said, I got past 1 door. Then he said, I got to get past mama's door. And he said, I got there and I waited. And he said, if I could hear mama breathing heavy, I knew mama was asleep, and I could get to my room. And then he heard mama praying. Mama prayed and cried and lifted up her son and said, I don't know where my boy is, Lord, and I hope he's not dead. And Lord, I pray that you'll save him. And oh, she was bringing down heaven. He said, I wish somebody had taken a broom and beat me with it. It couldn't have hurt anymore than what happened when I heard my mother praying for me. He said it was not necessarily the people of the church that won me to the Lord. He said it was the intercessory prayers of my godly mama. All the power that I got. Mama has power. Don't think mama doesn't have power. Before they get to the presidency of the United States, they first of all were held in the arms of a mother in a rocking chair. Someone said more lives have been saved in a rocking chair than in an electric chair. Thank God for mamas who will take and will pray and with urgency say, oh God, I have children and they need salvation and they need to be born again. Or maybe they are saved and they're not in the will of God. And Lord, bring them to a place where they'll serve you and love you. And oh man, you can't do anything with the urgency of a mama. This woman was urgent. She meant business. You watch out. If there's a mama that means business, you let mama get to praying. Now, I'll tell you something. I believe this. I believe heaven will move for mamas that pray. Believe it. Because there's an urgency with a mama. missionaries went into prison, large, huge prison, and they said, all right, they said to these men, these hard, tough men, they said, we're going to come and we're going to come back and we're going to bring Mother's Day cards and we're going to provide postage and we're going to give you your choice of a Mother's Day cards and we will pay for that. They brought in so many and said men all over that penal institution came and lined up and got those cards and sent those cards out. They ran out of cards. Didn't have enough. They said, man, isn't this fantastic? Look at the response of these men. Father's Day's coming up next month. Let's double the order and we'll have Father's Day cards. They said they were shocked because hardly nobody came to get a Father's Day card. They began to ask questions of the inmates, and they said, why did we have such an overflow of people wanting Mother's Day cards, but then Father's Day, nobody hardly showed up? And here's what many of the prisoners said. They said, we don't know where our daddy is, but we know where Mama is. Mama comes to see us. Daddy walked out and left us. What a mother. You can take somebody and put them on death row and they're going to be put in the electric chair or whatever to put them to death, and everybody will have picket signs and say, let them burn, let them burn. You've seen those kind of things on television, but I guarantee you that one woman will never say that, because that's her baby. And she'll hold out to the end for that baby. We have a pastor friend down, he used to be in Burlington, he's down in Carolina Beach, pastoring a church. I've had the privilege of preaching many meetings for him. We were at the Bible Institute one night and somebody said, we need to pray for the David Braddy family. Their 19-year-old son died in his sleep. This boy's name was Adam, and we knew Adam. Adam was a good boy. He was a handful. He had, I think, ADD or something like that. And he was a character. But not long prior to his passing, Adam had gotten either saved or got right with the Lord. I forget which one. And I understood from talking to people, and I talked to his daddy not too long ago on the telephone. He had been involved in some things he shouldn't have been involved in. But he got right with the Lord and was serving the Lord. Then they got up one morning and went into his room to get him up, and he died in his sleep, 19 years old. I talked to him on the phone. It had been a while since they had passed away, since the boy passed away, and I talked to him on the phone, and I told him, I said, preacher, I said, I want you to know we're praying for you. And I said, we're praying that God will help you. Some people would be judgmental. Some people, there's just times where you don't preach to people. And I said, just know that we're praying for you and Miss Angie. And we love you. And I said, I have to just say to you that God is giving you grace. I said, because I don't know if it happened to my wife and I. I said, I don't know if we could take the grace that you've got right now. He said, Brother Van, he said, I don't know how to deal with it. He said, there are times where my wife and I just have to start asking questions, and we start saying, Lord, what's going on? And why did this have to happen? And said, he says, I'll be honest with you, we're having time with it. But he said, one thing that has happened, he said, we have seen many young people get saved through what happened. He said, we had a youth rally in Adam's memory, and said we had preaching, and we brought young people from everywhere. He said, we had a church full, and I forgot how many people, he said, got saved as a result of, may I say it, Adam's death. How do you deal with that? When I was teaching up at Christian Heritage Academy, we had a student. I taught him. It was his senior year. I believe it was his senior year. I forgot where he had gone. He had gotten in his car. He was driving home, and I think the car kind of going up a little incline to where he lived. And I think the car stalled or something, and instead of leaving it there, he contacted his dad. His dad came to help him. His dad got into the car to crank it up, see if they could go. And he tried to, this boy, his name was Adam also, as a matter of fact. And Adam, he got behind the car to try to push it, and something happened, and the car released. And when it did, it fell back on him and rolled over and killed him. Make a long story short, there are people who have gotten right with the Lord, have gotten saved through that young man's death. I don't understand things. I don't understand things. But I have watched these women. And I've seen these women, God make them strong. When I don't know if I could be strong like something like that if it happened. But they stood to the occasion. They became what they needed to be. Something like that can't be easy. But I've seen women stay strong, and God's blessed them. And God, sometimes that mother is sometimes the strongest support in the whole family. Keeps the thing together, ties it all together. God's put something special in a woman. Did you know that when in the book of Isaiah, when God talks about the love of God, you know what God compares it to? He compares it to the love of a mother. When God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but Isaiah said, as a mother loves, and talks about the love of God and compares it to the love of a mother. Thank God for you, ladies. God bless you. Stay on your knees. Stay in the book. Ask God to make you a woman like this mother. Say, God, make me like a mother or like no other. And use me to affect others. You've got children and grandchildren counting on you, Mama. So I don't have any grandchildren yet. If you do, guarantee you. Guarantee you. Guarantee you. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this Shunammite lady. We don't even know about her name in the Bible. She just called a Shunammite lady. But we've learned some things about her. She became a mother. She was a mother with understanding. She was a mother with unction. She was a mother with urgency. And I pray for the ladies that are here, not only mothers, but all our ladies in this congregation today. Pray that you will bless each one of them. I pray that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will use them in a mighty, mighty way, that they may impact their families for Jesus Christ. We read of the great Proverbs 31 woman, and what a powerful testimony that is. Help ladies, not just here in our church, but ladies anywhere, to model themselves after the Proverbs 31 lady. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. If there's anybody here lost, I pray they'll come to know Christ and be saved. And help us, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother, hymn number?
Number 222, There Is a Fountain. Number 222.
We'll stand and sing. right, we'll let you be seated for just a moment. Ask the young men to come at this time and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. Hope you have a wonderful day today. I understand that some of you have shared with me plans that you have for today. For that reason, we will not have service tonight. You enjoy family today, okay? Just take your time, enjoy being with your family. And we'll be back on Wednesday night, so keep that in mind. But just go enjoy family, okay? And that's what we need to do, and I believe the Lord is honored with that. Don't forget revival services. Please be in prayer for that as we're getting closer in, the 29th of May to the 1st of June. Pray for Brother Daniel Church as God will lead him. As I shared earlier, he's been on my heart for months, and I just couldn't get away from him, and I feel like he's the man of the hour to preach for us. So you pray for him as well, and pray that God will bless. And any other announcements we need to make that I'm missing, forgetting? Okay? All right. Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for the mothers, Lord, here, Lord. And for the ladies that are here that may not be mothers, but send maybe the mothers, Lord, that you bless them all. Lord, bless us this evening, Lord. Pray that you'll bless the altar, Lord. Bless the giver, the one they have. And people love me. Thank you, Father, for being first.
Say one more time, what a joy to have Sister Parsons today.
Amen.
And then I want to say again publicly to Jean and to Louise, we do not take for granted that you missed your church to be here today, and we thank you for that so much. So I want you to be sure, everybody go by and tell them how much you appreciate and love seeing them. Good to see Bethany, good to see Holly back from college. So we're just having a good day all the way around, huh? Have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. Spoil your mamas. Love family. And we'll see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. Okay?